Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Today, we were going to be wrapping up our DNA series, where we've been looking at our core values, the things that are important to us. And just with the way things have taken place this week, when we got notice that the NBA canceled its season, the NCAA canceled their tournament, March Madness, and we heard that the state tournament for Wyoming was canceled, and just so many more things were being canceled. And my wife and I, we went to Sam's on Thursday night. Thursday night's our date night. And we went to Sam's, and there was more cars in the parking lot than were normally there on a Thursday night. We walk into the door, and normally the carts are like right by your side. You've got plenty of carts there at Sam's. There was like one row of carts and a few scattered in the bin, and was like, wow, what's going on? Walked into Sam's, the toilet paper aisles wiped out. There was three aisles of food that were just totally gone. I said to my wife, I want to take my cart and zoom it underneath and see if I can make it through all three aisles, but she wouldn't let me do that, so I didn't do that. But yeah, it was, you know, something I'd never seen, and I just began to realize how, man, people are panicking. People are living in fear. You know, some people, my daughter went to the store yesterday. A lady had 6 gallons of milk. There's no eggs around. Somebody said one man had 2 shopping carts full of toilet paper piled high. You know, there's a new motto going around: every day with toilet paper is a good day, you know. But as I have just been, you know, watching the news, kind of tracking things, seeing what's taking place around the world, I realized how this is a different situation, and probably all of us have this on our mind. And I just felt like God wanted me to postpone our last core value, and I'll share it when I feel like it's the right time. It might be next week. Right now I'm planning that, but I'm just kind of letting God guide us and direct us. But this morning, I want to share a message out of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. You've maybe never even heard of Habakkuk. Have a cookie, think of it that way. But chapter 3, and it's a very interesting story, and I want to share a message entitled this morning, Our Certain God in Uncertain Times. Our Certain God in Uncertain Times. We're living in uncertain times, but friends, I want you to know that uncertain times is nothing new to this world. People have been in uncertain times before. And what do they do? What takes place? And when we look at Habakkuk chapter 3, that's exactly what they were going through, as a time of great uncertainty. God reveals to Habakkuk that he is going to be sending judgment on Israel because they had rebelled against the commandments of God. They weren't following the law. They weren't doing right. They were sinning. They were worshiping other idols. And God said, I am going to send judgment on you. There is a nation that is going to invade you. It's the nation of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, the same people. And they're going to come and invade you. And when that happens, it's going to be pretty bad. And so I want to pick it up in verse 17. This is part of the prophecy, the revelation that the Lord gave to Habakkuk. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. God was saying when the Chaldeans come in, they are going to either destroy or take everything. Everything that you have to eat. Everything in your vineyards, all of your crops, all of your animals, your food supply is going to be completely wiped out. Now, our food supply is not completely wiped out yet. There are shortages, there is bare shelves. But so what Habakkuk is realizing is going to happen is a lot more dire than what we are experiencing today. And when you look in verse 16, when you go just before verse 16, he shares how he felt when he heard this revelation. It says, I heard and my heart pounded. My heart pounded. How many of you have ever experienced something scary and your heart just begins to pound? Yeah. A few weeks ago, many of you know that my wife and I, we took a 30th anniversary trip. We went to Cancun, and it was just a fabulous time. Everything was great, but I had a little heart-pounding moment, okay? Well, we were at a resort by the beach, by the ocean, and we would go out in the ocean. A lot of people were snorkeling. There were sea turtles and lots of fish, and you could see all that. And, you know, at this resort, it's all-you-can-eat buffet, and it's like, okay, I got to do something, or I'm really, I mean, I need to lose weight the way it is. If there's an all-you-can-eat buffet and I'm not working out, I'm going to be in deep. My clothes aren't going to fit me by the time I come home. You know, I did bring a pair of sweatpants just in case, okay? But I know I tried to work out as much as I could, and one day I thought, man, it would really be a great workout to swim in the ocean, all right? And it's like, I'm not that far off the shore. I'm within the buoys, and there's other people around. And there was kind of this long stretch where the rocks kind of cropped out, and there was kind of like two big beaches where people were at. And it's like, I'm going to swim from our beach to their beach where those people are and back again. And so I did that, and I swam all the way down, and I got to where they were, turned around, came back, and everything's going great, and you know, and this is the ocean, and it's your swim, one, two, three, one, two, three, and it's like, you know, I just can only go one, two, because there's, the ocean's coming, and it's hit you, got to watch the waves, and as I'm swimming back, I'm coming along, and my head comes up, and there's these eyes looking at me about like 3 feet from me, and I go, You know, you can't stumble in water, but I somehow stumbled in water, you know. And my heart is, boom, 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 boom. I mean, oh, it was beating big time. It was a sea turtle. Nice little friendly, thank you, Jesus, you know. After I recovered from the shock, like, thank you, Lord. But I realized I've been coming up, and I had goggles on, so I could see the whole time. I had my eyes open all the time. I had been coming up, had not seen anything, and all of a sudden, this sea turtle approached me without my awareness. And I realized other animals can approach me with me not being aware. And I had thought beforehand, yeah, I know there's sharks, but we've been here for a few days and there's been no problems and stuff. But still when that happened, I can't tell you the terror, the fright, and my heart pounded. And all of a sudden, instead of swimming straight, I started going back to the shore, okay? And I shortened my workout. And friends, that is how Habakkuk felt. This terror of what's going to happen to them. What's going to happen to them as a nation, their food. And he's just panicking. He goes on in verse 16. He says, I heard what God said, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. He was physically affected by the fear, by the panic of what he realized was going to happen to his people. And friends, we're living in a time where there are many people that they're in fear, in panic, that they don't know what to do because is there going to be food on the shelves tomorrow? Will I run out of toilet paper? You know, what am I going to do? What if I lose my job? You have, I just heard today, all the Nike stores in America are closing down. Apple stores are closing down. Many businesses, there's talk of some malls have shut down, different department stores, different restaurants, and as people are shutting down, as arenas and sports events are being canceled, their workers are out of job for a while, people don't have any money. How are they going to pay their bills? How are they going to get food? And there is a lot of fear, a lot of panic. What do you do when things are uncertain and it doesn't look good? I believe Habakkuk has a word for us today that we can draw courage, encouragement from, and build our faith. He says in verse 18, after he says, though the fig trees aren't going to blossom, though there's no grapes, the olives, no cattle, no sheep, no food, he says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yes, he had a moment of terror and panic when he realized what was happening. But this is what he did. He didn't continue to look at his fear. He didn't continue to look at this situation. He said, I'm going to look to my God. I will rejoice in my God. I am not going to let fear cripple and paralyze me. I'm not going to live in this state of panic and terror. I am going to trust God. I'm going to rejoice in God. My joy is not that I've got 14 stacks of toilet paper. My joy is not from the fact that my cupboards are filled with food and my freezer's overflowing. My joy does not come from everything's going okay. My joy comes from God. That's where our joy comes from. And Habakkuk, he says, I will. You see, it was a choice. You choose what you're going to think about. A lot of times we think about the things that are easy to think about. Something bad happens and boom, we think about it. It's on our mind and we let it sit there. But if you think about the bad, if that's your choice, you have a choice to stop thinking about the bad, about the negative, about the uncertain, about what if. And instead, you can choose to think about God and his promises and what he says. So you choose what you're going to think about. And Habakkuk said, I will rejoice in the Lord. He made that choice. And I believe that's a choice that we need to make today. We need to focus on him. Joy, someone once described joy as the deep down assurance that God has everything under control. And isn't that great for now? Do you have a deep down assurance that God has everything under control? We should. That's joy. And the word came today, hey, get under the cover of my wings. And if you're afraid, snuggle in a little closer. You see, focus on God in this time. Don't live in fear. Don't let fear cripple you. The enemy wants you to live in fear. He is the father of lies, and fear comes from him. Pastor Zach shared a verse, and it's on our Facebook page as we talked about our response to the coronavirus. It's in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if fear isn't from God, where is it from? It's from the devil. What has God given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. You can have a sound mind even when everyone else is losing theirs. There, we have a certain God in uncertain times. Friends, we don't know what's going to happen about food. We don't know what's going to happen to the economy. We don't know how long this is going to last. There's a lot of uncertainty, but you can be certain about our God. You can trust him. We can have a deep down assurance that God has got this, all right? Now, this morning, I want to look at three reasons in the text of Habakkuk chapter 3 that we can know, that three things that we can be certain about God about, okay? Number one, we can be certain, by the way, this isn't in your notes because we change things, so you can write this down wherever you want, but we can be certain, and by the way, we are live streaming on Facebook right now, so you can go back and we'll get that up so you can listen to this later in the week, maybe encourage someone else to listen to this. But the first certainty that you and I need to know about God is that we can be certain that God will save us. We can be certain that God will save us. Going back to verse 18, Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Habakkuk is trusting God to save him when this horrible time comes. He says, God is my Savior. It's not the army. It's not me running and finding a place to hide. He says, God is my Savior. And friends, God is our Savior. We have promises in the Word that he is our provider. He's a shield about us. He's a rock to stand on. He is our healer. You can trust God. He is our peace. He is our hope. Jesus is the light of the world in the midst of darkness. Jesus is our Savior. He is with us. He never leaves us. He is faithful to us. The promises of God tell us that God can save us. I love Psalm 46:1. It says that God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. You have a time of trouble? God wants to be an ever-present help for you. That's the God that we serve this morning. So there's something else that I want you to realize, though. Not only does God save us from physical danger, but God saves us from a plague that is way worse than any plague that the world has ever seen. You see, there is a plague that is 100% fatal. You contract this disease, and you're going to die. What is that plague? It's sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. All of us have sinned. None of us are righteous. And someday all of us are going to die. But God gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. And here's the thing that I want you to realize. You cannot begin to imagine what life is like without God. You can't begin to imagine. When you die, if you haven't received the forgiveness of sin, if you're not right with God, you spend eternity in hell. What's hell like? There's a gentleman, his name is Bill Weiss, and he experienced a situation where he had a vision and he spent 23 minutes in hell. And when he was there, he experienced the searing flames, total isolation, a putrid, breathtaking stench, deafening screams of agony that you could hear, shrieking and wailing, but you were still isolated, you felt all alone, and terrorizing demons. Bill talks about one time when he was swimming in the ocean and a shark was circling around him. He really had a shark, not a sea turtle, okay? And he talks about the terror that he had in that moment, and he prayed and God took it away. He talks about the terror, and he says, that's the terror of hell forever. Can you imagine that kind of terror, that kind of horror, that kind of danger you feel that you're in, plus the constant pain and the total isolation that no one can help you? Friends, hell is a horrible place, but God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin because we are sinners. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he died for you. He died for me. And he took the plague of sin that is going to kill us all, that's going to wipe us all out. And he's delivered us from the depths of hell. And he's brought us into the kingdom of God so that we can live with God forever in heaven. Friends, when you think about our future, we have a great future. No matter what happens to us in this world, in this short time that we have to live, realize that you live 70, 80, 90 years, maybe 100, but eternity is hundreds, millions of hundreds. And whatever happens to you here, sickness, lack of finances, lack of direction, whatever it may be, does not compare to your eternal state. And Jesus has saved us from the greatest plague that has ever afflicted mankind, the plague of sin, and we're going to be with God in heaven forever. We can rejoice, and it's not just someday that we experience the reward of heaven. We have the abiding presence of Christ. The Prince of Peace lives in us. He's the God of hope. And he wants to give us peace that surpasses our understanding. It guards our hearts and minds. He's that ever-present help in a time of trouble. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Friends, God is with us now. Not just our future in heaven, but he's with us today. and you can trust Him. He is a certain God in uncertain times. He's our Savior. That's the first thing that we need to know about the certainty of God. The second certainty that we want to take a look at this morning is we can be certain that God is in control. We can be certain that God is in control. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength." The sovereign Lord is my strength. I'm going to just pause right there. God is sovereign. That means He's in charge. He's in control. He is the King. I remember growing up, we sang an old chorus, "He is the King." Any of you remember that song? "He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh," and everyone tried to hold their breath as long as they couldn't see who could hold it the longest. "He is the King." Yeah, fun little song you sang. Friends, that hasn't changed just because the coronavirus has come. Okay? He is still the King. All right? He is sovereign. God is in charge. It's not like the coronavirus went up to heaven, made God sick and kicked Him off the throne and took over and said, "I'm in charge now." No. God's in charge. This did not surprise Him. He knew it was coming. Just as He's knowing everything is coming. You see, we live in a world that was perfect, but when we sinned, it introduced sickness, introduced poverty, it introduced injustice, it introduced suffering. And so our world is marred by our sin. The coronavirus is a result of the sin that happened, and things have just mutated over time and gotten worse. But friends, God is still in charge, and you can trust Him. You can count on God to save you. Here's the thing. Even if they come up with a virus, an antivirus, an antidote for this, it's God that makes it work. Because there's people, some people take treatments for cancer. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, God is the ultimate. He is in charge of your life, and you can trust Him today. So be certain that God is in control. Now, there's a final certainty this morning, how we can trust God in uncertain times. We can be certain that God gives us strength. Habakkuk says, "The sovereign Lord, the one who's in control, is my strength." He's my strength. And I love this next part. He says, "He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights, the high places, the mountaintops. He makes my feet sure-footed like a deer." You know, deer, they can run up mountains, on rocky cliffs. They can run all over. They're sure-footed animals. Even though they're facing a mountain, they can scale that mountain with relative ease. And maybe you haven't realized it, but this whole service, as you've been looking at the screens, you've been staring at a mountain. And the reason for that is because I want you to realize that if God is your Savior, if you're trusting Him that He's in control, and you're relying on Him to give you strength, then He gives you the feet of deer, and you can run on those high places. When those mountains in life come against you, you can run. You'll be sure-footed. You won't slip. You won't fall. He is your strength. God is in control. He is your hope. He is your peace. He is your joy. I will rejoice in my God because I'm certain He can save me. I'm certain He's in control. I'm certain He's going to give me the strength to make it through whatever I face. How can we have this certainty, this peace in our lives? There's a key, and it's found in Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. See, friends, we need to love God's law. What does that mean? That means that we're obeying God. We're not deliberately rebelling against Him. We're following Scripture. We're following God's principles. We're doing what we know He wants us to do. We're not willfully disobeying. That's what Israel did, and that's what got them in this problem in the first place. But you see, when you're walking with God and you're loving His law, you're following Him, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my sovereign, you're the King, you're in control, then you can have great peace and you will not stumble. And so this morning, as we wrap things up, I just want to ask you, have you been loving the law? Have you made Christ your sovereign, your leader, the one in charge and control of your life? Because that's where peace starts. I'd like you to pray with me this morning. Father God, I thank You for Your Word, because Your Word gives us such encouragement in uncertain times. We can be certain about who You are, about Your strength, Your power, God, Your sovereignty in our lives, and we can trust You. I pray You'd be with us now, God, and help each of us, God, just to respond to the things that You're speaking to us right now. Some of you here this morning, as you examine your life, and you're honest with yourself and you're honest with God, you would say, you know, I am not right with God. I haven't been following God's law. I haven't been loving His law. I haven't been doing what God wants me to do. And I know I haven't been living pleasing to Him. Maybe it's deliberate disobedience and gross sin, or maybe it's just little compromises here and there. But God is pricking your heart, and He's saying to you, you need to get right with Me. You need to follow Me. You need to surrender your life. For some of you here today, that is a situation where you have never been a Christian. You've never yielded your life, and you need to say, I need God to become my leader and my Savior. Maybe you've been trusting in your own good works, going to church. When I grew up, I thought if I was a good person and went to church, that's what got me to heaven. But that's not what it is. Jesus died for your sin. If you're here this morning and you realize that you have sin in your life, you need to get right with God, whether it's the first time, or maybe you're making a recommitment, or God has just shown you something that you need to confess and start following Him in. If that's you, I want you just to raise your hand. Just lift your hand up this morning. Anyone here? Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? If God is speaking to you about something, don't disregard it. Don't shove it down. You want to respond in obedience to Him. Anyone else today, you'd say, I need to get some things right with God, or I need to give my life to Christ. Thank you. I need to give my life to Christ for the first time. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Anyone else before I move on? I don't want to rush this, because friends, this is vitally important. This is your eternal future. Anyone else today? Maybe some of you here today, you're just kind of struggling with some anxiety. Maybe some of you, you're really walking in fear. This whole coronavirus thing has just got you so upset, and you're in knots, and it's on your mind. You can't sleep, and you just find yourself so unsettled, and you need God's peace. You need His hope. You need His joy in this time. If that's you this morning, you'd say, hey, pray for me, Craig. I just need more of God's peace. I don't want to be flipping out. I don't want to have this anxiety, this tension going on. If that's you, just raise your hand this morning. Anyone needs peace? Hey, thanks for your honesty. That's great. That is great. I'm going to pray, and I'd like all of us to pray together. And the things that relate to your life as we say this prayer, just apply them to you as we pray. Dear Jesus, You love me more than anything else. I know that because You died for me. I know I have sinned. I have rebelled against You. forgive me for my wrong, for my gross sin, and my small compromises. Wash me clean. I put you in charge of my life. You're my sovereign. You're my king. And I will do what you want. I trust you. I put my life, my family, and everything in your hands. I receive your peace. I will rejoice in you and not focus on fear. Thank you for your hope, for your love, for your peace, for your faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, our God is a certain God in uncertain times. You can trust Him. You don't have to be in fear. And one of the greatest things that overcomes fear is prayer. And many of you maybe are aware that President Trump, he issued a proclamation saying that today is a national day of prayer. And we have concluded things early this morning because we want to do that as a congregation. Where two or three agree, there am I in the midst. And so I've asked some of our board and our staff, they're going to be coming and we're going to be praying about different areas. And as they lead out in prayer, we're going to be praying for healing for our nation, for our schools, for just the finances and even our missionaries. Those are some main areas. I want you just to join us in prayer and just agree with what they're saying. And if you want to maybe stand, and some of you like to pace when you pray, maybe some of you want to kneel, some of you want to sit, if you want to kind of spread out a little bit, I just want you to feel comfortable as we enter this time of prayer, and you can shift positions, but we want to pray. How many know that God answers prayer, and prayer works? And so in this time of crisis in our nation, we want to be a people of prayer, so we're going to do that today, and we're going to start out, and whoever's first, just come on up, and go ahead and lead us, and we're just going to, I'll come back when we're through and we'll wrap things up.
As Pastor asked us to do these prayers today, a few verses that the Lord gave me, I'm going to share, and then I'll pray for the section that we have been given. This is from Matthew. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field here, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's Matthew 6:28-34. Proverbs 3:5-6 is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And lastly, Deuteronomy 6:24. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case today. We lift up the healing and safety and health, Lord. It says, Lord, in your word that you are the great physician, Lord, and I pray for those who are sick, whether it's from the virus that's the epidemic or just the flu or whatever, Lord, and their families, Lord, help them to be well. comfort them in their time, Lord, the ones who are grieving of lost loved ones or ones that are in fear because of the virus, Lord, comfort them in this time. The people who are medical professionals and EMTs and firefighters and police officers, those who need protection, Lord, we pray that you will protect them, Lord. Each of us has a family member, perhaps, that are in one of these vocations, Lord, and I pray that you will make them have extra special immunity, Lord, from this virus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the treatment, Lord, and just like it says in Deuteronomy, Lord, that we need to ask for wisdom in James 1:5, ask for wisdom, and we just pray for the people who are working on finding out more about this virus, doing research and trying to find a vaccine or antibiotic that can treat it, Lord. We just pray that you would give them wisdom, Lord, and know, Lord, that all wisdom comes from you, and I pray that you will help each one in Jesus' name. Alan.
I hope I can get through this because it's been a pretty trying week at our house dealing with some of the stuff that... So when Pastor sent this out yesterday to us and asked us to pray, it hit me a little more personal because I've been struggling with this all week anyway. I'm going to be praying here in a minute for our schools and our kids and our leaders of our schools. But I just wanted to read a couple of verses. This one has been one of my all-time favorite verses that I lean on any time. And honestly, this week I haven't done a very good job of it. But God's just been just overwhelming me today with it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6-7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of sound mind. I've watched our country and our, even locally, our nation just be ripped apart by fear this week, and it's just tearing my heart out because that's of Satan, and he doesn't want us to live in fear, and we're just letting fear consume us. And we've got to beat back the power of Satan today in Jesus' name. We've got to bind this power in the spirit of fear, or it's going to just destroy our country. And the God of peace will crush Satan. Oh, and that last verse was 2 Timothy 1:7, sorry. And the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Romans 16:20. God, forgive us today for our spirit of fear. Forgive me, God, for my spirit of anger with the things going on around us. God, if we as a nation are not where we need to be, bring us back. Please, Lord, please. God, today I just lift up our kids and our schools across this city and across this state and across this nation. God, I pray for the leaders that are making decisions to close schools, to figure out a way for the kids to keep learning. God, I can't imagine those decisions and how hard that is to work out. God, I just lift up there. Give them wisdom today, God. God, fill their hearts with the direction that they need to have, God. I pray for our students, Lord, that are might be displaced out of school, Lord. I pray for parents. There's parents that have to work and they don't know what to do with their kids if their kids aren't in school, Lord. Some of them struggle just to get meals every day, Lord, and the school feeds them breakfast and lunch. God, I pray for those kids and those families, Lord. God, we know that you're in control of this situation. We don't understand it. But God, you do, and you're in control, and we just give that to you today. God, I pray for our teachers that are struggling with this, Lord. They don't know where to turn. They don't know how to reach out to these kids and if they can't have them in front of them in a classroom every day, God. I pray that you give them wisdom for online classes or whatever the case may be. God, I pray for the kids that don't know you and they might just take this as an opportunity to just go out in the world and do things that are not of you. God, I commit them kids to you. God, I pray for the seniors, God, that their last year of school is being destroyed by this fear and this virus, God, and they're struggling to understand. It should be a great time in their lives and they're just questioning everything. God, I pray for peace for them today. They're seeing their events canceled and their things that they worked so hard for. They're seeing all this stuff be canceled around them and their lives being turned upside down and they don't understand. God, I just pray peace for them today. God, I pray that you'll just give them divine direction and show them that you are still in control. God, help us as parents that are dealing with this to know that you're in control. God, we need you more than ever right now, God. With the things that are going on around us, our country's never been through anything like this before that I can remember, Lord. God, help us to cry out to you today, Lord. Help us to just bind the enemy and the spirit of fear. God, help us to reach out to you and just reach out to the heavens and just, like the message said earlier, Lord, that you gave us, help us to just snuggle in under your wings today, Lord. God, help us to accept your love and know that you're going to get us through this. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Lord, right now we pray for financial peace within this church, within this state, within this country, Lord, that you would bring your provision financially. Lord, that you would make us wise, not just humanly wise, but kingdom wise. By God's kingdom, that you would make us wise with our finances, with everything that we have, with all of our things that we have, Lord, that you would show us what we need to be able to do with those, not just for ourselves, but to help our neighbors, to help our friends, to help our families, to help those who are also in need, for those who may not have the things that they need, Lord, that we would also be the arms and the hands and the feet of Jesus to be able to reach these people with the things that you provide to us. As you provide to your church, Lord, we give it out. Because you first loved us, Lord, we're going to love them. So Lord, we ask for your financial provision with everything that's going on, for those who have lost their jobs, for those who are no longer in work because of places that are closing, Lord, that you would begin to move in people's hearts who are around them, not just to give them financial, not just to give them money, Lord, but to give them items that they need, the things that they need. Lord, it doesn't say that you're just going to pour out a blessing. But it does. It says you're going to pour out a blessing upon your church. And we ask that you pour out your blessing upon your church that we may reach those who are in need right now in the name of Jesus. For places that are shut down, for the stock market, for our economy, Lord, that during this time, Lord, you would make us wise with our economy, with at the end of all of this, Lord, that we can come back, that we can come back stronger than what we are when we started this whole thing. Lord, for even those who are sick and they're not able to work right now, Lord, that you would begin to touch them. You begin to help them. You begin to strengthen them. You begin to bring people around them who can help them through this time. Give them strength. Give them your love, your mercy, and your grace. Pour it out upon your nation right now, Lord. Pour it out upon this nation, upon this state, upon this church. Give us your love. Give us your grace. Give us your mercy. That we may move as you have intended us to move, that we can do the things that you want us to do during this time, during this crisis. But Lord, we look to you, we look to your face, we look to your glory to change us, to mold us. So Lord, come. We just ask that you come and that you bring peace and understanding of what you're doing, of what's going on right now. To families, to friends, to hearts. Lord, we just ask that you move. We ask that you move. Bring financial stability to this place, to this state, to our government. Lord, so we can help those who are in need during this time. Lord, we love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Lord God, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for this great nation, Lord, for creating this nation. Let me believe that God created this nation for even a time as now, throughout history. And it's our history is pretty short, but throughout history of the United States, it has been a light. And the greatness of this nation and the help that it has given to the world. I want to pray for our nation and our leaders. Lord, we lift up this great nation. Even though we don't understand sometimes, understand the things that happen in the world. Through us, you have set a light on that hill that people can see. And in this moment in time, we want to be that light to the world. So for the nation that we have and its greatness in times of worldly tumult and trouble, through all the years we have, we've been that beacon of light and hope. So, Lord, right now we lift up our leaders. We lift up the president. We lift up the vice president. We lift up this coronavirus task force they have. God, we ask you to give them wisdom, understanding, guidance, patience, hope. As they sow into others, you know, the things that you would have us do, help them, God, in the decisions that they make. That you give them wisdom. Lord, your word says we ask you, give us wisdom, give us understanding. So we ask that you would give that to our president, the vice president, and the whole group that are working on these things. Decisions they make, Lord, that aren't hard, that aren't easy, that are super hard, that even may cost lives and a struggle that they have to deal with, that we do not. We actually give them wisdom. We set mighty warring angels in front and in the back. In the left and the right, the top and the bottom. You surround them with with wisdom, with safety. To give them the ability to do the jobs that we can't do. That even though we don't understand all of the situations that they're going to step in, that you have placed them there as our leadership, whether we like them or not, whether we like this country or not, whether the world likes us or not. Lord, in the decisions that they make, that you give them wisdom and understanding and protection. And as we are a leader and a beacon of light in this world, help us to accept others, other races, other peoples, be able to communicate to them, to love them, to treat them with respect and honor, no matter what race they are, no matter who they are. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us, for healing us, for watching over us. And Lord, as Christians, we want to be a people of faith and not fear, of generosity and of service. And Lord, help us to have, help us to see, help us to understand the opportunities that are here and that we have as Christians, that we can be a source of light and of hope and of joy. In Jesus' name.
Father, we bring our missionaries before you. God, in speaking with them, they are facing many of the same challenges that we face here in America, the shortage of food. God, the fear, the panic that's going on, and we pray that you would provide for them and you would be with them. But Lord, in some situations, there's an added dimension because they're away from their family, they're away from their loved ones, and in some cases, they're isolated and even quarantined in their nation, and people won't, there's just this sense of being trapped. And Father, we just pray for peace for them, and you'd come alongside of them, and that you'd give them your companionship. And Lord, as they're not able even to reach out and to fellowship with other missionaries because of travel restrictions, God, just be with them. I pray for our missionaries in third world countries where they don't have the cleaning supplies, they don't have the medical facilities to deal with this. I pray for their protection, and I pray for the protection of those nations. God, that that the coronavirus would not wipe out, God, millions, Lord, that you would just safeguard, that you would give extra protection in these areas that are remote and don't have good sanitary and health procedures that they follow. God, just do a miracle. Lord, I pray for the poor in these nations. As one missionary pointed out, when the rich stop buying and stop doing these things, the income of the poor go down and they suffer because they can't afford the basics of life. God, I pray that you would provide for the poor, as this missionary pointed out, saying that there is going to be greater suffering for the poor on the horizon because, Lord, they deal with this. They don't have the resources to take care of themselves. God, I pray that you would be with them. And, Lord, I pray for those that deal with the threat of typhoid and malaria and other diseases all the time. God, these poor people live in fear because they don't have the medicine. They don't have the ability to buy medicine. And so, God, they live in this fear all the time. Not before this coronavirus started, God, and they pray for health and for safety and for healing. God, have mercy upon them and be with them. And God, help us to understand what they're going through. Lord, I pray for our missionaries, specifically in France, Manny and Tina Providus, is France at now stage 3, and they have shut down all public buildings except grocery stores and banks, and people cannot leave their homes except for emergencies. and for and to get groceries. God, I pray for the nation of France as they have had the cases of corona have doubled in the past 72 hours. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing to France, bring healing to Italy, bring healing all over the world. God, we pray that you would just be glorified in this. And Father, we just pray that you would move in a powerful way. God, I pray for our missionaries here in the States that are itinerating, trying to raise funds so they can get back to the field. And God, as churches are closing down, services are being canceled, they have no way of raising their budget and they're just left in limbo. God, I pray that you would supernaturally provide for them. And Lord, last of all, we want to now just pray for us, your church. We are the hope of the world. You said that we're the light of the world. God, we know that Jesus is the hope, but they won't hear the hope. How will they know unless somebody goes to them and preaches to them and tells them, God, help us by the way that we live. God, by the confidence, by the peace, by the compassion that we have, Father God, help us to be the hands and the feet and the heart of God to them. Lord, help them to see a reality in us. Forgive us, God, if we've been selfish and if we've hoarded. Forgive us if we've been frantic and fearful. Forgive us, God, if we've been impatient at the stores and we've bullied and pushed our way in. God, help us to reflect the Spirit of Christ. God, move in us. I pray for an anointing upon us. God, that we would be witnesses. God, use us. Lord, this is a time when many people are looking at their mortality. God, they're realizing they could die and they realize that they're not ready. God, help us to be ready with an answer. Help us to tell them that you love them. You died for them. God, open doors for us to witness. We pray that you would use what the devil has meant for evil and you'd turn it around for good and you would use us to bring revival to our nation. God, to bring repentance from sin. God, to bring people to return to you. God, to realize that we're away from you. God, bring revival because that is our greatest need, this plague of sin in our life. God, we walk day after day past people who have this plague and we're completely ignorant of it. We're not burdened about it, Father God. Forgive us as a church for being complacent and not being the witnesses you want us to be. God, help us to rise up in this time. Change us how we see people. God, help us to be ready to share that you love them, you died for them. Oh, Father God, thank you for being our hope and our confidence. We will rejoice in you. God, our Savior, our Sovereign Lord, who gives us strength that we can walk sure-footed upon the mountains that we face. Yes. I want you to stand up this morning and begin to praise Him. God, we stand in your presence. God, we're going to snuggle in close to you. God, we're going to trust you. We're going to believe in you. God, we are victorious through our God. We do valiantly. No weapon formed against us will prosper. You're our healer, our provider, Jehovah Nissi, our banner of victory. And we give you praise today, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Emmanuel, you're God with us. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to close with a verse this morning, and then I'm going to dismiss you, and we will have our prayer team slip over to the sides in case any of you want prayer for anything. Just remember, we're going to refrain from touching and that kind of thing, but we do want to minister to your needs. But I close with this, and I want you to remember the word that came earlier about being protected under Christ's wings, and this is what I felt God wanted us to close the service with this morning. He who dwells in the secret place, it's Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Friends, we need to be a people that are dwelling in the secret place. We're praying, we're seeking God in this time. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. That word pestilence means plague. God said He will protect us from the perilous plague. Verse 4, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the plague, the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look. You'll see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you'll trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91. Friends, we have a certain God in this uncertain time. So as you leave today, walk with confidence, with peace, with joy. Don't look at fear. Look at your Father. Be wise. Take precautions. But trust God and draw into His presence. Snuggle in. Snuggle in. God is with us, and you'll see us through.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.